The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of many, of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hey, I just want to say something before I dive into this. Anders, you did a really good job with that reading. That is a tough reading, even for adults, and you nailed it, so thank you. Well, as I mentioned in my welcome, today is the day of Pentecost, and on this day of Pentecost, the church is quite noisy. Now, not noisy in the way of Memorial Day weekend traffic or a crowded restaurant on the lake. No, Pentecost is noisy with the sound of wind and with the crackle of fire, with voices proclaiming the mighty acts of God in every language under heaven. 50 days after Easter, the risen Christ pours out the Holy Spirit upon the church, and suddenly, fearful disciples become bold witnesses, and the church comes alive. Luke tells us in Acts that suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Wind, breath, spirit. In Hebrew, the word is ruah. In Greek, it's pneuma, spirit, breath, and wind, all wrapped up beautifully together in one holy mystery. And perhaps that is fitting, because the Holy Spirit, after all, is mysterious. We cannot see the Spirit directly. We cannot bottle it up or control it in any way. We cannot point to it the way that we would point to a chair or a tree or a building. Yet, we know the Spirit is real because we see the effects of it. The poet Christina Rossetti once wrote this: "Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by." None of us have actually seen the wind, but we have all seen what the wind can do. We see it in ripples across a lake on a summer evening. We see it carry a kite high up into the sky. We feel it cool us down on a hot and humid summer evening here in Minnesota. And we also know its fierce power. We have watched storms uproot century-old trees, flatten crops, fuel wildfires, and tear roofs from homes. Wind is powerful. Wind is unpredictable. And wind changes things. And so does the Holy Spirit. The disciples learned that on Pentecost morning. Just weeks earlier, they had hidden behind locked doors, frightened and uncertain, after the crucifixion of Jesus. Even after Easter, they still did not fully understand what God was up to, what God was doing. But then came the wind of the Spirit rushing through the house like a gale from heaven itself. And with the wind came fire. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Throughout Scripture, fire is one of the greatest signs of God's presence. Moses encountered God in the burning bush. Israel was led through the wilderness by a pillar of fire. On Mount Sinai, God descended in fire and smoke. Fire warms. Fire purifies, fire illuminates, and fire transforms. Anthropologists tell us that fire is one of the most defining marks of humanity. For thousands of years, human beings have gathered around fire for warmth, protection, food, and community. Fire gives life, but we all know, some better than others, that fire can destroy. And Scripture knows that too. On Pentecost, that holy fire, that godly fire, does not appear high in the sky, in a forest, or around a campfire. It rests on ordinary people, not just prophets, not just priests, not just Peter and the apostles, everyone, men and women, young and old, people from every nation under heaven, and that changes everything. Because Pentecost is not only about what happened long ago. Pentecost is about what God is still doing now. I want you to remember that the Spirit still blows through the church. The Spirit still ignites faith. The Spirit still pushes people beyond fear into courage, beyond division into community, beyond despair into hope. Sometimes we imagine the Holy Spirit as soft and gentle, a nice little breeze on a pleasant afternoon. But Acts reminds us that the Spirit is often more like a Lake Superior gale than a Hawaiian breeze. The Spirit disrupts, the Spirit unsettles. The Spirit sends people into places they never expected to go. The disciples did not receive the Spirit so they could remain safely inside the house, up in the upper room. They received the Spirit so they could go out into the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ in all possible ways. Notice something is important here. Jesus does not give the Spirit only to the strongest disciple or the holiest disciple or the one who thinks that they got it all figured out. The Spirit is given to the whole community. The church is born together. Faith itself is a gift of the Spirit. The church itself is a gift of the Spirit, and the work we do together as the body of Christ is empowered by the Spirit. When the Spirit fills us, we become fully alive. And when we begin to breathe that life outward into others, that is what the Spirit does through you. Every act of kindness, every word of forgiveness, every moment of patience, every meal shared, every prayer offered, every burden carried together, every stand for justice, every effort toward peace. Those are the visible effects of an invisible spirit. And my dear friends, we need that spirit now, today. We live in a divided world full of fear and suspicion. We see violence and war. We hear angry voices that seek to separate people, you and me, by race, language, nationality, politics, and religion. Pentecost speaks directly into that brokenness. Notice what the Spirit does in Acts. The Spirit doesn't erase differences. The crowd still speaks many languages and come from many nations. But through the Spirit, people begin to listen and understand one another. Gospel is heard by everyone in their own language. That is not uniformity. That is unity in diversity. Pentecost reminds us that the church is not a fortress hiding behind locked doors. The church is a spirit-filled people sent out into the world, sent to proclaim hope, sent to serve, sent to forgive, sent to love. And yes, sometimes the Spirit will push us into uncomfortable places. Sometimes the Spirit challenges our assumptions and stretches our hearts and minds. Sometimes the Spirit will blow us far beyond where we ever planned to go. But that Spirit, that same Spirit, sustains us each and every day in our joy, in our celebration, in our grief, in our fear, in our despair. So today, on this day of Pentecost, I want you to hear the good news. The wind of God is still blowing. The fire of God is still burning. And the Spirit of God is still alive in the church today. And the world still needs people who are willing to breathe that Spirit-filled life into others. So today, I would tell you to go. Go and be people of wind and fire. Go and carry the breath of Christ into the world. Go and let others see the effects of the Spirit in and through you. Because when the Spirit moves through ordinary people with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and mercy, I promise you this, the world cannot help but notice. And that, my dear friends, is the most holy wind the world desperately needs. Let it be so. Amen.